Which tunes did you recognize? Of course, the Star Spangled Banner and the Yankee Doodle, and the third one, Hail Columbia. And this is it. And while we nowadays may condescendingly smile a little bit about this setup, it sure was a first at those times and caused not just considerable enthusiasm, but really wild outbreaks of patriotism. You have to try to feel, get a feel of the times that were then. I am going now to a mystery composer, and I'm not going to tell you the name or the title. You may, some of you, I think Elaine probably knows that you have heard it before. The name of the composer I will give you afterwards, it's quite important. But what I would like you to do is, when you listen to this music, which is very descriptive, and the composer is a very important one, major one, I would like you to think about, close your eyes if you wish, if you were the composer, the writer of this music, what would be an appropriate title? In different words, what are the idea association, the feelings, the impressions that you get from hearing that music? So use your imagination, please. First, the impressions. What is an appropriate title for music like this if you were to have written it? What would you name it? Please speak up. Must create some impression. Butterflies. Falling rain. Very good. Wonderful. You are a very imaginative public I have here. Any more? Let me should I first tell you who the composer is? Well, let's talk about the content. She called it... All right, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I forget that it's a mic. Let me tell you what she called it, and then you probably will all say, oh yeah, I should have thought of it. Fireflies. The glittering, beautiful little insects that are so wonderful in the summer night. The name of this composer, first of all, it is a she. I would not present the give you a presentation on American music without including at least one female American composer. She is, her name is Amy Beach, and some of you may have heard her before. She was the first major American composer writing original music in classical style. Mrs. H.H. Beach, as she called herself, was no ordinary talent. Was born in New Hampshire, she was a precocious child, always composing music, already composing music at the age of 4. Her pianistic ability was amazing. At age 7, she played concerts in public. At 16, she was a featured piano soloist with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. She taught herself music theory and orchestration. She played with the major orchestras both in the United States and Europe. Books were written about her while she was alive. At age 18, she married a prominent surgeon. When she died at age 77 in New York City, she was a well-to-do, highly respected composer. About her profession, Mrs. Beach said simply, "Music means my inner soul." I have listened to various works of her, beautiful piano concerto, a symphony, chamber music, and it is just beautiful. Her output extends from over 200 shorter works of this one. To elaborate choral, orchestral, and chamber music. An extraordinary composer, and I would like you to get acquainted with her. Has anyone heard of her before, or aware of your knowledge? Okay. Then I'm doing my usual missionary procedure. I try to get you acquainted with them. Here's another American composer. I would like you to hear a short piece. Virgil Thompson. He wrote very many pieces that are very, very American, American titles, American subjects. I want to give you let me tell you a little bit about him. Virgil Thompson's art is rooted in the homespun hymns and songs, many of Civil War vintage. He had a Harvard education and a 15-year residence in Paris, which greatly influenced his approach of art and life. He's considered one of the most influential American spokesmen for this country's music. For 14 years, as a critic of the New York Herald Tribune, he became known as one of the most provocative writers of this century. He was outspoken and he was not afraid to be wrong. Virgil Thompson, born in the year 1899. I would want briefly mention something. I had limited time to prepare this. And in my extended library of biographies, I found that many composers who were born late in the 19th century or early in the 20th century, the book described them, or books, and gave the date of birth. But as far as they were concerned, they were still living. So I thought maybe some of these books are very old, written in the 1950s, 60s, but no, some of them were relatively recent. Not mentioning the date of birth then reminded me of something that who once jokingly told me. It is not necessary to know when the official year of death, because old composers never die, they decompose. So, in this spirit, I still offer this year for you who wish to get this list. I leave it out here. And help yourself. I have about 25 copies. So let us hear a brief piece. It only takes about 2 minutes, from Virgil Thomson, The Plough That Broke the Plains. And this is a work, I believe it's music that's written for a movie. And this particular section is called Cattle. Where there is a connection between cattle and that music, it is with Amy Beach's Fireflies, I do not know. You be the judge. And anyone ever heard of Virgil Thomson? And it's a nice old word. It is the first CD player I have ever worked with that operates on flashlight. Question: does this music? How many of you have heard this music before? This is maybe a radio station's music. Are you beginning to get a feel of what American music is like? The samples you heard. Is it? Yeah. Are you getting the feeling that this music is American? That is very different from anything that has ever been written in Europe or anywhere. To me, it appears this way. Yeah, this is music that approaches the what would be considered Western, isn't it? Thinking of prairie and farms and cattle drives and the American West. It's just very, very lovely music, very beautiful, and I hope you will listen more to it, more of it. The next composer that I chose is, of course, very well known, and the piece that I play, you all know, but I want you to listen to it very carefully and evaluate it in the terms of the qualities and properties that we have discussed so far. In the world's history of civilization, no country ever marched in a straighter line from raw barbarism to hyper-sophistication and from innocence to industrial technocracy than America. And needing music to move by and to march by, what composer did Americans elect to supply this music? None other than John Philip Sousa, whom we celebrate, what is his nickname? The March King. Yeah, the Austrians had their Waltz King, we have our March King. Sousa raised the entertainment status of the march to the same high level as the Europeans did with the waltz. How many marches did Sousa write? A few. 136 of them. And although he is best known for these marches, he composed a large number of other works, which is not generally known. You may not believe that. Operettas, suites, songs, instrumental solos, music for the theater, and sundry pieces for military band and orchestra. I thought I should share this with you because it is so surprising. His musical creed is clearly summed up in his own words. If out of the cadences of time, I have evoked one note that clear and true vibrates gratefully on the heartstrings of my public, I am well content. Great Philip Sousa. What I'm going to play is the march, which is probably he's best known for, Stars and Stripes Forever. Enjoy especially the middle section where the entire environment changes completely and the flutes and the piccolos play a glorious and grandiose solo.
Thank you.
started on big play of the first round. And now we enter the grand finale. Care from what country and what time, it is as exciting and enthusiastic as this one. I haven't. I don't know of anyone. Now, the next American composer I have on my list is Ferd Grofé. He was born 1892 and lived to 1972, which was not so long ago. He was a composer, arranger, steeped in jazz traditions, and from that composer on, we will talk about jazz. He was trained as both a pianist and a violist. He played in Los Angeles Symphony for 10 years. He formed his own jazz combo and played the piano in vaudeville houses, theaters, and ragtime bands. And we will talk about ragtime. His talent soon attracted the ear of Paul Whiteman, who hired Grofé as an arranger and pianist. And what is Ferd Grofé's best-known work? Somebody mentioned it earlier. The Grand Canyon Suite. Can something be more American than Grand Canyon? Yes, they can. He wrote about many other American features, and it is very, very beautiful, but the Grand Canyon somehow captured the hearts not only of Americans, but of the entire world, and is very, very representative of his music. So we will, his movements of the Grand Canyon Suite are rather long. I debated whether I should present the rainstorm or the sunrise, or I decided to play, just to refresh your memory, a brief section of On the Trail, where you, has any one of you ever ridden the mules down the trail into the bottom of Grand Canyon to the Rio Grande? Yeah, it's the Rio Grande, isn't it? Yeah. That flows through. No, I've always wished I did, but I, many of my friends have done it, and it's very characteristic and very memorable. And you will hear the little bells or what you call these animals? Mules, yes. Sliding their way down, you occasionally hear them conversing too. So, here we go. Principal theme. And this is all the preparation of going on the trail. And now you go here, steady, stepping down. Speaks up. And go down from here. How many of you are familiar with the music? As far as most everyone. I hope you enjoy it. Now, I mentioned the word jazz, and that creates conflicting emotions in many people. I hope that even those of you who don't particularly care for jazz stay to learn and to listen and enjoy some beautiful music to come. Now, this was our first reference to jazz, but what then is jazz? Let me tell you. Jazz started out in America as a relatively spontaneous and simple style of American music, American music that eventually became quite sophisticated. It collectively embraces a number of 20th century styles of popular music of the United States. That is the essence of the distillation of so many trends that we have followed so far, with the few examples I was able to show you here. Jazz characteristic accents have spread throughout the world more insidiously than Coca-Cola. In jazz, musical America took the lead over musical Europe. By now, the popular music of many countries, including Venezuela, Sweden, Turkey, and even Japan, all bear the telltale marks of American style. That's quite an accomplishment, isn't it? Jazz rhythms, meter, and beat, coupled with state-of-the-art electronic instruments, heavily influenced and shaped the emerging, what music appeared in 1950 around? The rock. Rock music was shaped by jazz. And the ultimate accolade to American music came in the 1960s, when the famous Liverpool sound came back from Britain to deeply influence the course of popular music here. We have this wonderful cross-fertilization with these extraordinary results. And here's something that surprised me, which I never knew until I read about it. Historically, jazz is mainly associated with cities, although its origins were in Africa, and societies quite different from the West. Now, what is the primary claim? I don't even want to claim to fame, but what impresses you most about jazz when you not only listen to it, but watch it? It's improvisation. This is what jazz is mostly about. Now, jazz developed from ragtime and blues. This is much in contrast to Stephen Foster's music that developed from hymns, and John Philip Sousa's music that was mostly march-oriented. So here we have the confluence of the various trends that eventually resulted in what we call now American music. Now, I mentioned ragtime. What is ragtime? You know. Ragtime was a favorite music style in America at the turn of the century. The most celebrated rag composer is? And who else? Very best. No. You say Scott Joplin? Oh yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. He was known as the king of the rag. He's our second king tonight. Who moved from the rural south to the urban north. He took his musical convention from the white military two-step, more or less identical with Sousa's march. But Joplin's music has an improvised feel because the rhythms are what is called ragged, in that they are being syncopated. And the manner of the ragtime is dandified. The music has pathos, but also sentimentality. Joplin's music had an enormous renaissance with the movie The Sting that probably most of you have seen. Let's listen to the Maple Leaf Rag that together with The Entertainer's perhaps his best known composition. Vein. As you probably noticed by listening to this music, the rag, and this is very representative, the ragtime is instrumentally oriented and features a strong rhythmic drive. You cannot help but feel this. And is usually played in rapid tempo. And it also uses something prominently which is very, very characteristic, and that is a difficult word. But you are all familiar with it? Syncopation. You all know what syncopation is? Well, let's see whether we can clarify it for you. Syncopation is a rhythmic pattern that displaces some of the main accents of music away from the normal metrical beats of the measure. For example, instead of counting, and let's see, march to the left foot, count one. Normal expected rhythm because or beat or meter, because we expect the first beat of the of a measure to be the strong one, the other is the weak one. In the syncopation, the other way around. Trick of the whole thing. The effect of syncopation is very hard to describe, but I will give you a good example. The effect of syncopation is immediately familiar to us. We sense syncopation by being aware that the expected stress pattern is not happening. And this creates an animated feeling of pleasant unbalance. The melody picks up a lively yet easy drive. The basic regular meter seems to get a new springy quality. Feet are set tapping, fingers begin to snap irresistibly. When this happens, the music is said to have swing. And music that swings in this way means some kind of jazz. I want to play for you in a recording which is fortunately an original recording. Unfortunately, it doesn't have the perfection of the electronic recording that we're used to. But it features syncopation and improvisation. And improvisation, you know what we are talking about. Eh? A certain theme, a series of notes is given as a basic melodic section, melodic fragment. And then the various players just fool around with this piece of melody, and they alter it and change it to such a point that it becomes nearly impossible to recognize, or it becomes completely, unrecognizable. But the listeners of jazz know perfectly what the melody is. It's usually very simple. And internally, you don't even have to hum it along. It plays along in your brain. And this is one of the wonderful things of jazz, of improvisation, that it brings the listener into what he is hearing. He is participating. He's part of it. And this is the great and wonderful property. Now, I will play for you the Little Brown Jug, played by Glenn Miller, his original band. And get an idea of where the original melody is, and when it disappears, it is present, but by suggestion, it is present in your mind. It takes less than 3 minutes to play this. I may play it all or cut it off. Let's see. This is the melody. Now, memorize it. It's not difficult. And picks it up. Feel the syncopation. Presentation. How many of you have the habit of going to jazz music and listen to it? And many wonderful places. I believe they call it jamming, can go on for a very, very long time, maybe 10 and 15 minutes. And people start clapping in the middle. And if you are unfamiliar with jazz, you wonder why. And because they admire a very clever variation that brings it just to the limit of recognition. But they are so proud of themselves that they are still with it, so they clap. So it's a wonderful. Well, they are pleased with themselves. Instead of clapping themselves on the shoulder, they clap the hand. Now, we are talking about blues also. What are the characteristics of blues? Anyone? Well, the basic form of country blues come from the Mississippi Delta. Blues are of a mournful nature. They use a slower tempo and use so-called blue notes in its scales that are different from our more customary major and minor scales that we use. And I noticed that in the church songs that we have here, most are on the major scale, but many of the contemporary and imported melodies have minor scales. But most of them use the complete seven-note scale that we are used to. But the blue notes, there's one missing. The seventh note is usually missing, and I will perhaps point it out when that happens. And in addition, there are notes used, but I'm not going to into the theory of it. But you recognize blues when you hear them, even without knowing what exactly causes it. The elements of blue can be found in black spirituals and work songs. And I am going to play two, and we have time for that, yes. Two spirituals. The first one is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and this is sung by Kathleen Battle with the orchestra directed by James Levine on the vine. We probably will end up with sixth, not such. The scale, as you know, has seven notes, and then the eighth note is already a repeat of the first one on the tape low. So, now this takes 4.5 minutes, and since we are limited in time, I probably will cut it off. Okay?
Sweet love, sweet child.
people to be involved. I would like, and this will be my last sample of music, present to you another spiritual, and this is, he's got the whole world in his hands. Which, do you sometimes sing it in services? Now how far we have come from the fully European style music played in churches and schools and festivities, and at this point we have already created a very American style that didn't come from anywhere. It was born and created and nursed and brought to fruition in a wonderful way in this country by the great musicians and composers and instrumentalists and singers who all work together to bring us to this point. I am going to finish here at this point. I just we needed to round this out. I did want to introduce ragtime, blues, jazz, so you have a better comprehension of what will come tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We will talk, and I give you the list about these composers, very American, very important, each of them a great innovator, and on an immense diversified field that we will not find anywhere else in the world. This is only here in America. We have George Gershwin, we have Aaron Copland, we have Leroy Anderson, believe it or not, and I will play something by him and explain what his role in American music is. Samuel Barber, where I will ask your cooperation in interpreting a wonderful composition by him. And finally, Leonard Bernstein, or Bernstein. This is all what I could squeeze in these 3-45 minute presentations that I was allowed to give. Excuse me if I am a little nervous tonight. It was, as I said, a labor of love to put this together, but such an enormous amount of information that I couldn't possibly keep it all in my poor old head that's overloaded with so much other stuff. So I have read some of the notes because they are the condensation, each of them, of many hours of reading. And I wanted to let you all know the most important and basic and fundamental, I'm not repeating myself here, tenets of American music and what we have now in the 20th century, something we can be really proud of. I did not bring in music of composers started composing in the middle of the 20th century, because they are too new. Some of them are experimental. Who knows whether they will be around. Some of them will be, maybe many of them will be. But there's only one way to determine what is really good music. This is when it becomes a classic, like all the music that I played for you here tonight have become classics. Classic music is the one that withstood the acid test of time. 100 years ago, 150 years ago, people enjoyed the music we enjoy it nowadays. Our children, grandchildren will enjoy them and will still be around for a long, long time, because their intrinsic values and all the love and excitement and wonderment about what is America is all contained in these marvelous compositions. And I hope I give you a representative sampling. If there's any comments, I would like to hear them. Thank you. As I said, I hope you enjoyed what you hear tonight, and tomorrow will be the crowning achievement of our 20th century music, of these marvelous and great composers that we can call our own. Thank you very much. Good night.